Jesus called John, along with his brother James, there on the lake shore, and they left their fishing license and business behind, not knowing where the ways of Jesus might lead them. But John had this sense that they were going to be a part of something important. When they left, though, I'm not sure that John completely left his business behind. Because later on, we find John and overhear him worried about the marketing rights of Jesus's ministry. That he wanted to trademark everything Jesus said and did. That John went to Jesus. I saw this person casting out demons in your name, and I told him to stop. Making a case for trademarking Jesus's name. But Jesus told John, do not stop him. Whoever is not against us is for us. But I'm not sure John was only concerned with Jesus' name. He might have also been concerned with his own. Because if we listen closely, John actually said, I saw this person casting out demons in Jesus' name, and I told him to stop because he was not following us. John didn't say to Jesus, he was not following you. He said, he was not following us. And this happened right after Jesus had caught the disciples arguing and bickering about who is the greatest. So it looks like John fell into that misunderstanding of power. Wanting to be in management and not labor. And if we live long enough, we all come to see both the appeal and the repel of power. That perhaps we want to be in management so we can make the decision, so we are the person to make the call, where we've got a little bit more influence and input. That is, until we find out what that is like. When you're the person to make the decision, weighing all of the variables involved and knowing every person it might affect, it can feel like a lose-lose proposition. And we would want nothing more than for somebody else to make the decision. And Esther found herself in one of those kinds of situations where she was not sure she wanted to be the person to make the decision. But for such a time as this, she stepped forward with courage. In that long line of leaders we find throughout Scripture, like Sarah and Zipporah, Shipra and Puah, Miriam and Deborah. And in this place, Esther is the forerunner of leaders like Joe Randall, Mary Virginia Moore, Mary Jim Coleman, Jane Moore, Helen Brown, Peggy Johnson, and many, many others. But it might seem like we haven't heard much about Esther. When I was growing up, learning that song that helps us remember the books of the Bible in order. I remember how Esther could easily get left out. I mean, it goes Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and Ezra sounds a lot like Esther. And not only that, Esther's far enough into the song where you start to get nervous. Like you're going to leave out one of the books of the Bible and the tempo starts to speed up in your singing and you just might move too quickly to the book of Job, leaving Esther out. But it is a remarkable story. King Ahasuerus had named Haman as chief of security. But since Haman felt offended by Mordecai, who was Jewish, Haman decided he was going to kill every Jewish person in the land of Persia, and he had the power to do it. And Esther had the opportunity to speak with the king about Haman's horrible plan. But nobody knew. Esther was Jewish. So if she spoke up, she would absolutely endanger herself. But if she remained silent, the consequences were unimaginable. And in many ways, it was a small task. Just a conversation. But we all know that a small task like just a conversation can feel insurmountable, especially when the stakes were that high. Some have pointed out that the name of God is not mentioned throughout the entire story of Esther. And maybe that's a good thing. It prevents anyone from suggesting that somehow this threat against the Jewish people was God's will. And it leaves room in the story for us to discover that the grace of God can enter our lives in ways that oftentimes go unnoticed. That it's not named for us, that we have to name it ourselves. That the grace of God, which gave life to creation and has the power to transform our lives and that sustains us each and every day, can be found in small tasks. But it's easy to underestimate a small task. Rick Bragg, who's from Alabama, celebrates the holy gift of a casserole. He says, when you saw Tupperware coming, it was time to celebrate. It's one of those exclamation mark kind of moments because banana pudding and potato salad came in Tupperware. You even bought Tupperware at a Tupperware party. He says it's the Wedgwood of the South. Just try having a potluck without Tupperware. It's like trying to have worship without music. But it's a small thing. But when someone knocks on your door after tragedy has struck your house, acknowledging your pain and bringing with them something as small as Tupperware and a prayer, it means something. From the outside looking in, it can seem like token obligation. But if you are the person who answers the door, after quickly drying your eyes and pulling yourself together, you feel the care and concern of the community of faith surrounding you with compassion and hope. That behind all of the small tasks of our faith is what the church has passed down to us in the priesthood of the believers. Not the priesthood of the believer, singular. It's the priesthood of the believers, plural. What Karl R. Marne said, where there is a priest at every elbow. And we can never forget that the word priest is in the priesthood of the believers, that vocation of bearing the grace of God for others. While I was in seminary at Wake Forest University, there were, at the time, 11 different church denominations represented in the student body. So when conversation came up about ordination, a lot of the students started to talk about what it would be like to put on the vestments for the very first time, like the collar of a priest. And as a Baptist, you couldn't help but be a little curious about what that was like, where you would walk into any room, and because of the priest's collar, everyone would instantaneously know who you were. Maybe giving you a little bit more influence. Like you carry the trademark of the ministry of Jesus. But even a priest will tell you, the collar does not make you a priest. It is countless small tasks of great value that participate in the grace of God, whether they are delivered in Tupperware or a letter or empathy or music. That it's the priesthood of bridge builders, forming community and maintaining connection. It's the priesthood of welcomers, making room in our lives for the lives of others. It's the priesthood of musicians, enabling us to worship and surrounding us with beauty, that we are priests to one another because we pray for one another. Because we're present to one another in this place. Because we forgive one another, challenge one another, encourage one another. There was a minister wandering through the hospital trying to find a church member who was a patient. And she finally located her in the ICU. This church member had practically grown up in the church and suffered with cerebral palsy her entire life. And she was now at a critical moment. This church member had grown up as a child and then into young adulthood all throughout the life of the church, in the same way we hope all of our children are raised and nurtured by the church. It's why at baby dedication, in this place, we ask the congregation, is anyone else to help with the child's guidance? And then as a congregation, we all say together, yes, we too will help with the child's growth because the child belongs to us as well. And the reason we can say that is because we are priests to one another. Well, there were other members of the congregation that wanted to come see this church member in ICU. But unfortunately, the hospital's policy was only immediate family could visit the ICU. So while the minister was there, she found members of the hospital staff. And she did the best she could to make the argument to explain why other members of the church needed to come see their friend. And about halfway through the conversation, one of the doctors goes, "Oh, you mean the church is like her family?" Yes, the church is her family, and they are also her priests. There is no trademark on the ministry of Jesus. Just countless small tasks of great value, which bear the grace of God. Amen.